These copies for everybody? This mimer was decided by the Rebbe on the seventh day of Teves, which would have been yesterday. The year was Tavshin Lamed Beis. So we're going to have to approximate 1971, or just into 1972. To the late December or early January of 1972. And the mimer is based on a pasuk in Haftorah. The pasuk in Haftorah is from the writings or the prophecies of Ezekiel. And it starts off, the mimer starts off with the word David Avdi Nasi Lahem La'ilam. David, my servant, will be the Nasi, will be the prince for eternity. Umervur Basvarim, it's explained in various holy books. Hamevarim Shaiches Hahaftaris Lahasidres, which explain the connection between the Haftorah, the supplementary reading from the scriptures, and the actual Sidra, the actual Parsha itself. That Shaychos Haftarazu, the connection of these verses that speaks about the future and the coming of Mashiach, to the Parsha of Vayigash, is Ki Hakiruv the Eitz Yosef, the Eitz Yehuda, the discussion in the Haftorah about the two different branches, the branch of Judah and the branch of Joseph, two trees, if you will. Those trees will grow together. The Kor of Isam Echad El Echad, the prophet is told, put them one next to the other. Va'asisim la'etz echad, and forge them as a single tree. The ha'haftera, he dugmas ha'goshas Yehuda le'yosef. This haftera is a reflection of the narrative that opens the parsha, where Yehuda draws close to Yosef. So Yehuda draws close to Yosef, who's the king, the viceroy. And he beseeches, he begs, he cajoles, he asks, makes entreaty. Any language you want to do, he can use them all. He used every possible language. He spoke harshly, he spoke softly, he pleaded, he begged, he demanded, but he draws close to him first. And since he draws close to him, and ultimately the subsequent narrative that follows the first one is one of reunion, coming together as one, the family reunited. So that's why we have this metaphor or biblical imagery of Eitz Yosef and Eitz Yehuda, which we know that the Jewish people's kingdom divided in half, unfortunately. It was a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And that kingdom that divided in half eventually comes together. And the kingdom it does not come together in our time, but eventually will come together. And that, of course, is the coming of Mashiach. All right. So that's the simple overview, the simple essence of what's talked about in the Haftorah and what's talked about in the Parsha. V'tzorich lahavin. So now the Maimer begins that this needs to be understood. Harei vayiga she'lov Yehuda, the idea of Yehuda drawing close, she'Yehuda hutzrich l'geshes ulhis alef l'bechinas Yosef. In the Parsha, Yehuda needs to come close to Yosef. Why does he need to come close to Yosef? He needs Yosef. Yosef, or Joseph, he's the one who can give. Yehuda is the one who's making the request. He's begging. He's asking. That's what happens in the Parsha. And that's Meira. That indicates she-Yosef, who l'mayla me-Yehuda, that Yosef towers over Yehuda. Yosef is the one who can give, and Yehuda is the one who's hoping to receive. However, we contrast this with what's written in the Haftorah, where we talk about the idea of Avdi David, Melech Aleihem, that my servant David rules over them, is king over them. The David Avdi Nasi Lehem Lo'ilam, Yecheskel Ezekiel says that King David will be the Nasi, the prince over them for eternity. In the Haftorah, Yehuda is the king. In the Parsha, Yosef is the king. Polar opposites, mirror image. So the question is, what's going on over here? What's going on? Vim kain, any muvan. If so, it's not understood. Mahi hashayches shel haftarah lahasedra. What then really is the connection between the parsha and between the haftarah? The lechaira him shnei inyanim hafchim. Not only are they not the same, they're opposite. In other words, the premise was that the haftarah, which speaks about the reunification of the Jewish people, and the seder, which speaks about the reunification of the Jewish people, same idea. Same idea. Yehuda and Yosef represent both different streams or backgrounds of the Jewish people. So their coming together is in a sense reflective in the Haftorah and reflected in the Parsha. But the Rebbe says, one second, if you take a look over there in the Parsha, Yehuda is coming to Yosef as the king. And in the Haftorah is the exact opposite. Yehuda is the king. So yeah, they're similar. But as much as they're similar, they're dissimilar. In fact, they're mirror images and polar opposites. That's the question. So the question is, similar ideas, but opposite direction, how does this work out as being reflective? V'hine. Yodua, it's known, Shehashem shel kol sedra, that the name of every parsha, Meira al ha-teichen shel ha-sedra. It's not just that we chose arbitrarily the first unusual word in the parsha. So obviously, you know, later on we have lots of verses that start Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemer. So you're not going to have a parsha called Vayedaber, you're not going to have a parsha called Lemer, you're not going to have a parsha called Moshe, but the first distinguishable word, which is unusual, not typical, is, oh, there's your name. So we started off the parshas Vayigash. That's an unusual word. Not so common. Okay, fine, we have Parshas Vayigash. Earlier we said Parshas Miketz, first word. Okay, Miketz. Or Vayishlach, or Vayeshev, etc. But actually, no, that's not correct. A name of a Torah name is indicative of a deeper meaning. And if it's the name of the Sedra, which is the proper name for a weekly Parsha, by the way, Sedra. If it's the name of the Sedra, so too that it has to in some way reflect or in some way speak of the content of the Parsha. And the Rebbe says that is in fact the case also here with regard to Parshas Vayigash. She'inyan hagoshas Yehuda le'Yosef, that this notion of Yehuda drawing close to Yosef, which is Vayigash, that's what the Vayigash is talking about. Vayigash is talking about the drawing close. Ha'moire al-mailas Yosef, which this Vayigash, this is in a sense, it reflects on or it points to the virtue of Yosef, legabi Yehuda, who ha'teichen shel kol ha'sedra. So, it's not just that it happens to be that Yehuda is drawing close to Yosef. That just happens to be a technical detail at the beginning of the Parsha. But in fact, since the Parsha's name is Vayigash, which means that he drew close, and who drew close? Yehuda draws close. Since Yehuda is drawing close, and Yehuda is drawing close to Yosef, which means Yehuda is making entreaty or request. He needs Yosef. So if Yehuda needs Yosef, then that becomes more than the opening volley of this Parsha, but in fact, it becomes the underlying theme of the Parsha. The theme is where Yosef is the mashbir bor, where Yosef is the one who provides the sustenance, and Yehuda, representing the rest of his brothers, are recipients. They're getting from Yosef. And in fact, the Rebbe says that it's not a leap. Harei b'chol ha-sedra, in the whole Torah portion, and afilu b'parshas vayechi, even if you will, going into the next parsha, misuper, the Torah's narrative illustrates, ech shekol ha-shvatim huzkiku li-Yosef, how all of the shvatim needed Yosef. So if this is not just a technicality, but in fact this is indicative or reflective of the entire theme of the Parsha, then it becomes really difficult for us to wrap our heads around the connection between the Parsha and the Seder. Hareitechen the Siyum of Seder, who should David, which is Yehuda, is going to come the Nasi for all of Yisrael. Although in the beginning of Haftarah, which is the Kiruv of Eitz Yosef and Eitz Yehuda, where the two trees, or branches, if you will, are going to be brought together. Him dugmas inyan Yehuda liYosef is similar to the notion of Yehuda and Yosef becoming reunified, as it says, Echad be'echad, Yigashu, which is a paraphrasing of a scriptural expression in the book of Iov, Hadezerak Tchilas HaFtorah. It's only the beginning of Torah. The beginning of Torah, we talk about two entities which are somewhat equal, which are somewhat lateral, and then being brought together. Avol Mimasha, even in Ba'avtorah, from the fact that we say in the Avtorah, Gam B'Psukim, Ba'avdi David, and the verses of Avdi David towards the close of the Avtorah, Muchach, it's very, very clear, Shagam Zeh Shayach L'Techen HaSedah, that that's also connected. It's not like the beginning of the Haftorah has a connection to the Parsha and the end of the Haftorah doesn't have it. So this is one continuum. Ve'eini muvan. So this, for we reiterate the question once again, it seems that they are two polar opposites. Okay, so now let's move into the next. I'm going to, for brevity's purposes, just move along, and we're going to go into the body of the Maimer now. The Rebbe also talks about the connection of one of the Memorim and Teraer, and he has a question over there, which is further augments and illustrates the original question. The Yuvans calls it, this will all be understood. Bahagdim Chilas Bir Hagashas Yehuda LeYosef. So what's the problem up until now is we haven't really understood or clarified in any meaningful way what is Yehuda, what is Yosef, what is this Hagasha, what does it mean to draw close? We haven't talked about that. We just said, these are the facts. Yehuda draws close to Yosef. Okay, and he needs Yosef. Haftarah, these are the facts. We have this two streams, two branches, two elements, which is Yehuda and Yosef, and drawing close together. And we said, yes, but polar opposite, mirror image. So it doesn't reflect the Maimer. So let's first understand the concept of the Hagasha of Yehuda li Yosef. Beginning with the most literal understanding of this. When Yehuda sets out to awaken some kind of compassion on Joseph's behalf, he's thinking, I hope this Egyptian monster has some conscience. I hope he has some kind of heart. And I tell him the story, and I give him a whole sob story. He's going to in some way be moved, I hope. Lifel alav, that he's trying to influence him. He's trying to impact him, affect him. She yashav leiz Binyamin, that he should return Binyamin to him. So he tells him this whole sad story about a father who's dying, who's brokenhearted. Amar Lai, in the midst of this narrative, he says, making his arguments, he's remonstrating with Yosef, he says, Avdecha Orev Esanar. Your servant has provided surety for the lad. In other words, he has taken upon himself to be the guarantor. The guarantor, on a literal level, means we have a fellow named Reuven. Reuven's got a lot of money. Got a guy named Shimon. Shimon's got no money. Okay, Shimon needs money. So what's Shimon going to do? He could go to Reuven. He could say, Reuven, give me money. And Reuven said, give me money. Why should I give you money? We said, well, I'm not just asking for a handout. I'm actually going to pay you back. But can you loan me some money? Reuven takes a look at Shimon, and he says, ha, if I loan this guy money, I may as well just give it to him. I'm never getting this money back. So he says to Shimon, you know what? I can't be bothered running after you and becoming your employee, your client, to get my money back. But here's what I'll do. You get Levi to provide surety, because I know Levi's okay. Levi's not running to give you money, but if he backs this up, that he'll take care, that the loan will get repaid, I'm good. What's Levi's name now? Reuven is the lender, right? He's giving the money. Shimon is the loaner, or the loanee. And what is Levi? The guarantor. That means an Orev. Now you know what an Orev means. So Orev means I'm the guarantor. I guarantee this will happen. I back it up. The kivon shebepashtus enyonim. Since on the most literal of levels, hatayna ki avdecha hu tam sheyashav leiz Binyamin, that's the reason why should Yosef give Binyamin back, so to speak, or set him free, release him. Why? Well, because Yehuda is an Arev, because Yehuda is a guarantor. So what? So why does Yosef care if Yehuda is an Arev or a guarantor? Well, he's explaining to him why he's ready to step into the lurch. And Yehuda says, look, if necessary, I'll become the slave. I'll be the hostage. I'll be the prisoner. But I can't stand by and let this happen. It can't be. So he says, Keinu gamba pnimi senyonim. The Rebbe says, this is ultimately then reflecting a deeper mystical spiritual truth. This is the meaning of your servant has guaranteed the young lad. Avdecha daike. Avdecha. What does avdecha mean? Avdecha, your servant. Ki avshe Yehuda hi melech be'echav. Even though Yehuda was known euphemistically as the king of his brothers, even at that time, when it came, there were points out in parentheses to ensure that everything would work out in the land of Mitzrayim for the Jewish people. Who did he send? He sent Yehuda. He said, you established the yeshiva. So nonetheless, even though Yehuda is the king of the brothers, Yehuda introduces himself and refers to himself as Avdecha, which means your servant. Ki zehu tam, that's the reason. Why? The thing is like this. That the Jewish people are all considered to be guarantors for one another. We're all guarantors for one another. Guarantors for one another means we're all responsible for one another. Explained the idea of a guarantor in very, very simple terms before. Shev kipshutei, it means literally they call echad hu arev bishvil hasheni. Every yid is responsible for the next. V'yesh oid pirush. There is another interpretation, another understanding of the third term of arevim, of guarantors. Not just in a legal terminology, but also milashein me'uravim. What does me'uravim mean?
Bound together?
No. It does not mean bound. It means mixed. Mixed. Like you mix the ingredients together. La'arif, to mix them together. The Chol Yisrael, me'uravim ze bezeh. Our lot is mixed. We do not exist in isolation. We're not on our own. Zeh opirah shapnimi de'arevim. That's the inner meaning of arevim. And in fact, lachein him arevim zeh lezeh kepshutei. That's why we're arevim. Because we have a mixed lot. A lot, it's all intermeshed, it's all one. Kipshute. The Kedem, like it explains in the Maimer, but the Rebbe recited previous to this one, referring to the Menorah. That the Menorah, and last week, the Shabbos before, which was Hanukkah, that the Menorah, which refers to Knesset Yisrael, Av Sheyeshbem Zayin Sugim, even though the Menorah has seven different kinds, seven branches, and there are branches out in different directions, nonetheless, we say, Hey Menorah, Zohav Kula. Last week's Haftorah was about one gold menorah, all hammered out of a single piece. Just like the menorah is hammered out from a single block, that's more than what you think. It's not just hammered out from a single block. But here, interestingly, Alter Rebbe speaks on a level of nuclear physics. And he says, when you hammer the metal of one area, it causes fusion. It causes some kind of disturbance of the subatomic structure. And the blows that are meted out to one part of the block ultimately move around the subatomic structure. And in the moving of the molecules, some of the molecules that are in a higher place actually end up in a lower place. In other words, the whole subatomic structure is disturbed. And when it's disturbed, there is a mixing. That which is on the top of the block ends up on the bottom of the block. And that which is on the bottom ends up on the top. Even at a literal level, when you talk about hammering out metal, gold is very soft metal. The reality is that when you hammer metal, the metal shifts. The metal moves. And some of the metal that was on top of the block may well end up in a different area. And so, nis'arev ha'koil elyon betachten. Everything gets mixed. The top of the block gets mixed to the bottom of the block of gold. Betachten be'elyon. Kach kol yisol arevim zemezeh. So too, all the Jewish people are responsible for one another, which responsible does not mean just mean in a legal terminology, as we discussed previously, but now we're adding another rung, another layer, and we're saying that means me'uravim, that they are mixed together. V'nizbor le'el, it's also been explained previously, this is loftier than the notion of the body being interconnected, where the head receives from the foot. True, an infection in the foot, God forbid, can affect the brain because the blood runs through the whole body. But ultimately, when you're finished discussing this business of the connection of the blood that courses through the entire body, head to toe, the head is still a head, and the foot is still a foot. It's only that the foot has something to contribute, something to give to the head. But we're talking about something much more profound. In the Eskalos of Miksha, Mashal Maila becomes Mata. Mashal Mata becomes Maila. And we're talking about disturbing the subatomic structure. We're talking about moving that which was on high down below. And what's on below, not high. And as the head becomes the foot becomes the head. Umashim Mesayim B'Lekutatayra, where he finishes off there. Ki Atem Kruyim Adam V'Horeish Mekal B'Chayis Gam E'Aregel. He says, this is what's sometimes that the Jewish people are likened or metaphorized as a single entity. And therefore, when it's a single entity, that there is somebody who occupies a position of head and somebody who occupies a position of foot, the Rebbe says that's sometimes like that. There is an element of that. However, there is also an element in which all of us are equal. And it's everybody's destiny is intertwined and everybody is really one. Now, v'afshe kol Yisrael mu'rav mzeh bazeh, even though all of the Jewish people are mixed together, shalachin gam be'inyin ha'arvis kipshutei, which is the reason because we have a mixed lot, because our lot is intermingled and intertwined. Because of this, that's also why the legal terminology of arev mzeh bazeh, of being responsible for one another, is also the case. Mikom makim yeshnei bazeh chiluke madreges. There are many levels in this. Like explained in the book of reincarnations, like a person himself, when you talk about the fact that inasmuch as we have a mixed lot, but at the same time we also still are individuals, so when we talk about us as individuals, the reality is that the head of one body is more responsible for its body than the next person's body. Well, we have this idea of a leader of a tribe of Israel, a Nasi. And a true leader is one who's entirely devoted to the Jewish people. True, but if he's a Nasi of a Shevet, he has more responsibility towards his tribe than towards the entire nation, other tribes. He's more responsible for his own tribe than he is for the rest of the Jewish people or other tribes. Like, for example, Baal Shem Tov says, Shem mitzvahs avas Yisrael, higam l'misha l'irah v'leisham v'menu klum me'ilam. That Baal Shem Tov says that the mitzvah of avas Yisrael extends to a yid who you never heard of, you never saw before. The other end of the world. Okay, true. The avas Yisrael extends there also. Mikol makam yeshne madregas b'zeh. There's levels. Let's say, where do you see different levels between one yid and the other? For example, in the mitzvah of hoicheach techiach, in the mitzvah of giving a rebuke, how they move on the yesh neheferish bechiyav kameishu bebeisa. It's understood that there's a difference of the responsibility you have to rebuke and to be responsible for your own household. Ukameishu beiroi, people, something happening in your city, in your neighborhood, bimdinase, in your region. Of course, you're responsible for every yid. You see something bad happening anywhere in the world, you as a yid should care, and you as a yid should make a tumult, and you should clap, bang on the table and yell and scream. Okay, fine. But you understand that you're more responsible for your own family, more responsible for your own community, more responsible for your own city than you are on a larger level. This is the meaning of Yehuda said, Ki avdecha arev esanar. He said, your servant has guaranteed the lad. Even though all of Yisrael is Arev Mzeh Bazeh, everybody's responsible for one another. Reuven's responsible, and Shimon's responsible, and Naphtali and Zvulun, and Yitzchak and Dan, everybody's responsible. True. However, since Yehuda put himself, stepped in, and he said, I'm going to do this, so even though everybody's responsible, nonetheless, and especially when it comes to Binyamin, which Binyamin is shayach to Yaakov in a unique way, as it says, nafshei kshura b'nafshei. So therefore the sons, or the brothers, as sons of their father, would care very much for the welfare of Binyamin. True, true. But mikol makim, davke Yehuda nichnas l'tigar yesa mishay rachav. It's Yehuda who gets into the real middle of this whole contention. He enters the fray more so than everybody else because he is Orev Esanar Yoiser Mishar Achen. He is more responsible. Everybody's responsible. He's more responsible. Similarly, is also on a spiritual level. The Yehuda and Binyamin, Yeshlehem Shaychas Godel Zelazeh. Yehuda and Binyamin do have a very special bond and connection. Yehuda, who Sfira Horevius. Yehuda is known as the fourth Sfira, which is sometimes referred to as Sfiras Hamalchos. Binyamin, who Bechinas Rucha, the Shavik Begabei. Binyamin represents, and I don't have time to explain this, but Binyamin represents the level of that which energizes the concept of Malchus, which is known in mystical parlance as Zoh. And he's called Tzadik Tachtin. Now, because there's a special connection, which I'm not able to explain right now, because there's a limitation of time, because there's a special spiritual connection between the chemistry of Yehud and Binyamin, that's why the emphasis is, Ki Avdecha Arevis Anar, that the Shaychas, Avdecha, your servant, has taken surety, responsibility. Because the Shaychas of Yehuda to Binyamin, Hu Lihiyese Avdecha. In other words, that's the level of Bittel. Avdecha means subservience. That's the meaning of an Eved. So Yehuda's subservience, this idea, which represents in Hebrew, Bittel, self-nullification, self-renouncement, that's the level of Malchus. And that means, if you want to translate this into mystical parlance, that Yehuda, who's Malchus, has a special connection to Binyamin, which Binyamin is the idea of Shavach Ruchai, which gives the spirit or energizes the concept of Malchus. So this then is the meaning of Ayigashel of Yehuda. Yehuda, who is Bechinas HaMalchus, Yehuda, who represents, in spherotically speaking, the level of Malchus, and Yosef is what's called the level of Zoh. And therefore, since the level of Zoh, which is known as Zeir Ampin, or literally small face, which represents the concept of human emotion. Arech Ampin, large face, represents the concept of cerebral activity, a human intellect. Zoh, or Zeir Ampin, the small face, represents the idea of the concept of emotions. So the notion then is that the responsibility, or Malchus, dominion, and regency, and majesty, and being able to govern, there has to be some kind of emotional connection. If you don't feel an emotional connection, if you don't feel a responsibility, if you don't care, how could you be really responsible? How could it be a king who doesn't care? If he's a king who doesn't care, he's a king who has no emotional connection, he's not going to be a king. The king has to care. So the king then, the idea of Malchus, which is the level of regency and dominion and governance, has to be linked to the concept of Zoh, which is the idea of emotions. So Yehuda needs Yosef. Yosef represents those emotions. He represents that emotional connection. Yehuda represents the practical application or dominion, and therefore Yehuda needs Yosef. Malchus receives from Zoh in the language of Kabbalah. Zehu gam kemashi isa bezeir shagosav goshes Yehuda li Yosef hu inyan smichas geulah l'tfilah. In the Zohar, the ideas of Yehuda and Yosef are metaphorized as geulah, which means redemption, and tfilah, which means prayer, which is referring to Tfilas HaAmida, what's called in a technical level the Amida. We often euphemistically refer to it as the Shmona Esrei, the silent prayer, which is the apex or the pinnacle of prayer. So what? And that's Belachash. That prayer is the Amida prayer is recited silently. It's recited. It's supposed to be Avde Kamemara. It's supposed to be like a servant in front of a master during Shmona Esrei, not allowed to make any interruptions. In Shemoneh Esrei, some tzaddikim didn't even move. They stood perfectly still as if they were standing before a king. So this is what Yehuda then is saying to Ben Yosef. The Yehuda says, Yidaber no'avdecha dover ba'azni Yosef, is I want to speak into your ear. In other words, he wants to speak quietly. He's not going to yell this out loud. He wants to speak to him quietly, which is like Shemoneh Esrei. Shemoneh Esrei is quiet, which represents the idea of Tachlas HaBittel, Avdecha Memore. That like a servant before a master. This is on a level of spiritual parlance, the level of Malchus, the way it is in to receive from the concept of Zoh, the emotions. What this ultimately resulted in something good for Binyamin. In other words, Ayideha Bittel Nase Yichud Zun. through this bittul, through this nullification, through Yehuda being subservient, he was able to link or become related entirely to Yosef. And when that union was created, so then what happens from there is that something resulted, something good came for another. And that was necessarily that Binyamin was able to benefit. So, very little time really. The bottom line is like this. The bottom line is that Yehuda and Binyamin coming together, when we understand it in spiritual terminology, it's not a question only of whether Yehuda is supreme or Yosef is supreme. This is a conceptual kind of reunion. And the conceptual reunion in the present day and age is one where the concept of Zah reigns supreme and Malchus has to be subservient, which is the idea of Bittul. But when Mashiach will come, that will become rotated. When Mashiach will come, Yehuda will rise to supremacy. And therefore, in the end, in the Haftorah, which is a messianic vision, you will see the same form of reunion, but in a mirror image. So the question was, how is it connected to the Parsha? And the answer is, it is connected to the Parsha, because really, it's the same concepts, the similar concepts that are playing themselves out. Only there's a way this concept plays itself out in the present reality, and then there's the way this concept plays itself out in the futuristic reality. The key to understanding all of this is understanding the idea of hammered out. The idea of the hammered out of is not just to be the idea of guarantee. So guarantee is a guarantee is a guarantor. Okay, fine. But we talked about this concept of hammered, which the hammering of the Jewish people evokes the idea of the menorah. And the idea of the menorah evokes the idea not just of a head and a foot or one being responsible for one another, but rather that which is reish becomes regel, that which is regel becomes reish. In other words, there is a switching of roles. Why? Because ultimately, we are all in this together, and all in this together means that sometimes the regel becomes the reish. So in the parsha, Yosef is the reish, and Yehuda is the regel. But in the end, because of the hammered nature, what happens is exactly the opposite. In the end, Yehuda is reish, and Binyamin is, and Yosef is, so to speak, regel. In other words, there's a role reversal, but the role reversal is rooted in the idea that ultimately we come from a common entity, from a single block. There's much more to be said, but we'll suffice with this for today. L'chaim.
Futuristic concept that they reverses in the future.